The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session, pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case is 926 Sugar Creek Township versus the City of Centerville. The appellant is Cunningham.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. I'm Catherine Cunningham, counsel for the appellant, the City of Centerville. With me is my colleague, Richard Brom, also counsel for Centerville. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This case is about development in the state of Ohio and the rights of property owners to annex their properties to a municipality and develop and receive tax incentives in the municipality on the same basis as all of the other residents that are within the city. It is a case of first impression, and it involves the interpretation of the expedited Type 2 annexation statute, which is 709023, particularly subsection H, and the interpretation of the municipal tax incentive statutes known as TIF, tax increment financing, that are provided in Ohio Revised Code 570940, and their application to property that is annexed into a municipality following the expedited Type 2 annexation process.
Council, how much time is saved generally by the expedited process versus the normal process?
The expedited Type 2 process generally can be accomplished within about 120 days from the date of filing till the date of decision and the time the municipality has to rest on the annexation. It takes anywhere from 90 to 120 days. In the general other annexation process, the majority petition process, the time frames are much broader. It's more like a trial on the merits. The case can go on for months and months as the hearing is continued. And after the decision in the case is subject to appeal by any party. Typically, the benefit of the expedited process is it is not subject to appeal by any party. It is only subject to mandamus should a decision be adverse, versus the majority process, which in the past, majority processes would be litigated for years.
But it would be true, would it not, that the retention of tax revenues to the township was part of the grand bargain when the expedited process was passed by the General Assembly?
It is
That'd
true.
That'd be a fair statement.
It's fair to say that the property does remain in the township and subject to township taxes. Absolutely. That was part of the bargain. Unless the township agreed, the property was to remain in the township following an expedited Type 2 annexation process. It is not true that as part of that bargain, that meant that the property would not be subject to the general tax laws of the state of Ohio, the economic development incentives that are available to all municipal properties and available under the tax law generally.
So, Council, you're saying that as much tax as the township was collecting or allocated to the township would not diminish, but that was no guarantee that there wouldn't be additional taxes that would be diverted for other purposes.
There was no guarantee that the tax general, I am saying that, there's no guarantee that the general tax statutes were changed in any way or that economic incentives were no longer available to property after it came in following an economic.
So basically the township is not losing anything that they, giving up any tax that they already had at the time of agreeing to the Type 2.
Your Honor, you are absolutely correct, and in fact, they are gaining. In this case, they gain 25% for 10 years and 100% of the improved value. And they are participating in the way that every other taxing authority participates when a tax incentive is put on.
What is the incentive for Centerville to engage in a Type 2 type of annexation or any annexation at all but for this tax? I'll use the word scheme, but not in a derogative way.
The incentive actually is typically for property owners, not municipalities. Property owners come in with a development opportunity. They have a limited time frame to get it. They've got contracts to buy real estate. They've got users that want to come, and they've got a limited window. In order to do that, they avail themselves of the expedited process so that they can quickly get in a municipality, they can get the services provided, they can get the zoning in place, and they can get the development going. Municipalities, the incentive for them is to work with property owners to develop property and have economic development within the municipality. But it's the owners who choose the annexation process, not the municipality who does so. And it's the owners who, throughout the state of Ohio, are choosing the expedited type 2 process over and over again because they cannot afford the time and the expense of continuing to litigate these cases.
Council, townships have authority to ask their voters for taxes for general operations?
They do.
Assuming that under your argument, if a township voters approved a new levy for general operations, would that be subject to the reduction under a TIF?
There is no special exception for prospective levies under the municipal TIF or any of the TIF statutes for township taxes. There was some discussion in the briefs of the application of the application to all tax statutes under 570940 subsection F, which identifies 12 taxes that would not apply to new levies or renewed levies. There is not an inclusion of township levies as part of those.
All right, so if a township wanted to avoid having part of their new levy revenue diverted, they would have to go under one of those enumerated purposes. Is that would generally be the case?
The General Assembly would have to provide for it, and they have not done so.
All right. Is anywhere in the record the relative, or not the relative, but the amount of millage that the city has that's being abated relative to the township's amount here? Cities generally have less property tax millage than other entities, correct?
They may or may not.
All right. Do we know in this case what the difference is?
There is nothing in the record about the relative millages of the municipality versus the township.
All right.
In this
do we
case.
Know how much money would go into the TIF from the city versus what would go in from the township?
We do not. There was never a projection done because the development went away. Typically, those projections are done based on the development and the tax dollars that will come in.
All right. I assume there probably was not enough for the city to do it just using non-township, excluding the township. Would that be correct? Otherwise, you probably would have gone ahead and done that and captured the business opportunity, right?
There's no information on that in the record, Your Honor. And again, it was because it was so preliminary that the development went away, so there wasn't an opportunity to do the evaluation. Typically, that evaluation is done by the financial officials who are going to issue bonds and notes and will project the flow of revenue based on the amount of development opportunity and the proposed increase in value. Even with a 25% increase in value of taxes for the township, in a $100 million-plus dollar development, it would generate far more taxes than the township currently receives under a CAUV reduction and a fallow ground, which is what it is today.
I see. All right, that would, of course, the equation might change a little bit if it were a 30-year TIF as opposed to what in this case was a 10-year with a 75%.
Your Honor, the development agreement that the developer and the owner had with the city was that it would be the maximum TIF allowed without school board approval. In order to do a TIF longer than 75% in 10 years, any political subdivision, whether it's a township, a county, or a municipality, would be required to receive school Board of Education approval, and there is a provision in the statute that would allow a negotiation for a payback to the school. That was never considered or contemplated in this case. It was always going to be a TIF that was permitted by statute without approval of any other authority.
Under the statute, under your interpretation of it, township would have no input as to whether there is a TIF or is not a TIF, and how for how much or how long that would be?
The laws of the state of Ohio on TIF do not provide for anyone other than a school or county commissioners to have input in whether there is a TIF or not, and the threshold on when they have input is 75% in 10 years. They are the only two authorities recognized by the General Assembly as having any right of input in any TIF, whether it be a township TIF, a municipal TIF, or a county TIF.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Could you indicate for me the current status of this project?
There is
the
no
city
project.
Of Centerville entered into a contract with a developer, right?
They did, and the owner.
Has any of the improvement, have any of the improvements been made?
They have not.
And has the township lost any revenue at all?
They have not.
So the township,
to my knowledge, they have not.
The township is still collecting all of the revenue from the property, and the annexation is complete. Am I right?
That's right.
So while there's an issue about a proposed TIF, there is no TIF at the moment. Am I right or wrong?
There is a township TIF. Sugar Creek Township imposed a TIF on the development property. So there is a township TIF imposed on that property, and Sugar Creek would be diverting the taxes of all of the taxing authorities, including their own. There is no City of Centerville TIF imposed on the annexed property.
There was a Centerville TIF.
There never was a Centerville TIF. The way that the TIF works, the township imposed a TIF after the annexation petitions were filed and before it was incorporated, because townships can only impose TIFs on unincorporated territory. So annexation petitions were filed, Sugar Creek Township filed a TIF, and it covered all of the property to be annexed. That TIF exists today. The City of Centerville never imposed a TIF because this litigation ensued. An injunction was, there was an action for declaratory judgment. That lenders are not going to loan on whether or not, when there's an uncertain TIF, the developer couldn't close on the contract, walked away from the deal, and the development never occurred. The ground remains fallow today. So there's never been a municipal TIF on the property. However, there was a township TIF imposed.
So is our opinion going to be advisory in this case then, because there isn't any development here?
Well, it's not advisory because there are developers who hope to develop here. And
But there is no TIF, and we wouldn't know what those issues might be in a proposed future development. And I'm just wondering what we're really deciding. We could have been deciding a case if there were a development, but there isn't one. And you've sort of confirmed what my reading of the record was, that these are interesting issues between the 5709 and the structure of the annexation, but there really isn't any controversy here because there isn't any development.
Your Honor, with all due respect, the controversy is clear and identified.
Oh, I'm sure the parties, it's very real to the parties.
Well, there can be no development, or there won't be any development if the
won't be any development with the tax increment financing.
In the municipality, and by logical extension of what the Court of Appeals decided, any tax increment financing. The statute in question does not mention tax increment financing or any exemption. It just says the property remains subject to township taxes. What the Court of Appeals decided by logical extension is you can never exempt the property or impose any incentive on it that's going to affect a township. If that is true, then there is an actual controversy because no TIF can ever be imposed on the township taxes, no tax incentive, no CAUV exemption, no charitable purpose.
The only reference to the exclusion from the levy in 5709 is for a township park district. There isn't an exclusion for a township. Should there be one?
Your Honor, the General Assembly found that there should not. The General Assembly chose not to put in any exemption for a township generally. There should have been, if that's in fact what was meant to happen, because the only way In the scheme of TIF statutes, the only way that those get paid is when the money is collected for the TIF, the county treasurer pays the exempt taxes before the money ever goes into the TIF.
Doesn't
the city
this issue
never
belong with
it.
The General Assembly to let them put townships in there?
The General Assembly, if they meant to have townships excluded, should have put them in there, but they didn't.
Well, are we going to put it in with our decision? Is that what you want us to do?
In my opinion, that's what the Second District Court of Appeals did and should not have done. They put them in there, and they shouldn't have, because the General Assembly didn't. What the Second District Court of Appeals did was change the law of the state of Ohio and the legislation of the General Assembly by judicially legislating that the township should be included in that statute when the General Assembly themselves determined that they should not.
Thank you.
Counsel, you said that there could never be a TIF, period. Is that limited, though, to property that was annexed through the expedited procedure?
If that's the argument in this case, that it's the expedited statute that allows you that.
You threw this blanket over the whole thing and said there could never be a TIF, but you mean there could never be one on property that came to the city through the expedited procedure?
That's correct, Your Honor. It's the expedited two statute that the Court of Appeals and the appellee claim takes the property out of the eligibility for TIF against township taxes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blixendorfer.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the Court, I'm Matt Blixendorfer on behalf of Sugar Creek Township. Your Honors, the key language, of course, that we're interpreting here is that in the expedited Type 2 annexation statute that says that the territory shall not be removed from the township and remain subject to the township's real property taxes. The city of Centerville has never had an explanation that makes sense in the statutory framework to explain what that language means. Their first explanation for what that language means is that it's nothing more than that the territory remains within the township and the township continues to be a taxing authority. But if that's all it means, it's just superfluous. The statute already says exactly that. The statute itself says that territory annexed pursuant to an expedited Type 2 annexation shall not at any time be excluded from the township and thus remain subject to the township's real property taxes.
Counsel, is the township collecting revenue from this property today?
Yes, it is, Justice.
Is it collecting the same amount of revenue that it was before the annexation?
It is, because the development has not occurred, Justice O'Donnell.
All right. And if the development had occurred, hypothetically, as I understand the position of Centerville's council, the township would collect 25% of the increase in value that the development would have added, and it would have collected the same amount of revenue as it had prior to the development. Is that your understanding of their argument?
It is, Your Honor.
And if the statute says it shall remain subject to the revenue shall remain subject to the township, does that comport with the statute? And if not, why not?
Well, it does not, Your Honor, because the township's inside and outside millage would apply not only to the unimproved value of the land, but also to the improved value of the land. And this is why Justice Pfeiffer called it a grand bargain that was annexation reform, and that's an apt description.
He's got a way with words.
That's an apt description of what was going on here. The reason it's important for the inside and outside millage to apply to both the unimproved and the improved value of the annexed territory is because the township continues to provide services to the annexed territory. The expedited Type 2 annexation statute gives the municipality carte blanche to determine what services to provide to the annexed territory or not to provide any services at all.
Council, isn't that part of the development deal? The developer makes a deal with the city for the provision of services. And isn't that the whole reason for the annexation is to access city services?
Well, that can be a reason, Chief Justice O'Connor, but that's not what is always going on here. In fact, Sugar Creek, under the plan, was going to be forced to continue to provide services.
What services are you talking about?
Fire and emergency services.
What about water, sewer?
A lot of those were going. Some of those were provided by Sugar Creek before in this instance. Others were provided by the county. Centerville was going to take over providing some of the services, but some of them were going to remain with Sugar Creek Township. And the upshot of that is you have fallow land that on which the cost of providing services is limited to nothing. And then you have a development, if it's successful, is going to increase the demand for those services.
The 25% based on the increase revenue is not sufficient to cover the township's limited provision of services?
It might or it might not be in a particular situation, Chief Justice O'Connor. But even if it were in a particular situation, the implication of Centerville's position here is that the township could get, might in a given situation, might get no additional revenue because a TIF could be enacted that would exempt 100% of the increase in valuation, so that all that the township would get in exchange for providing a greatly increased demand for services to an annexed territory, the township might get nothing more than the real property taxes that it was providing on fallow land.
In your scenario here, and of course we don't know all the details of the what services Centerville has to offer and what the township has to offer, but in the scheme of things statewide, there would be little or no reason for any developer to want to annex and get the privilege of paying the local income taxes to a city unless there was an important sewer, water, and fire being provided by the city. Now, if your township is going to provide, when this is developed, sewer and water, you're able to charge for those services. You're not for fire.
But, correct.
It seems unlikely that any developer would, if you can provide it all, everything they need in the township, there isn't any reason to annex to Centerville, is there?
Well, there might be, Justice Pfeiffer. It's hard to say in a given situation because there are many different variations of the fiscal arrangements.
Well, the taxpayers
here
that they're getting, that could be provided in the township, could it not, if the county commissioners agreed to it?
The what could
the
be?
The tax breaks, the TIF.
Yeah, the township would have the ability to implement.
To do the same thing.
That is correct. That is correct.
Do even more.
Yeah, that you're correct in that regard, Justice.
Provided the township had the capacity to do it, and it seems to me that that's the underlying issue here, is that whatever the developer property owners need, they can't get from the township 100%. Is that a fair statement?
I don't know that it is.
In this situation, is that a fair statement?
I'm not sure that it is, Chief Justice O'Connor, because in this situation, the negotiations were first had with Sugar Creek Township, and the developer wanted some zoning requirements, which were implemented. The other thing, what got
the developer went to Sugar Creek and said, I anticipate doing this development. Here's what my needs are. Apparently there was negotiation and all those needs were not met, and therefore the owners went to Centerville to be part of the discussion, correct?
Well, the record reflects that what led here to the developers going to Centerville was an unrelated merger study that was going on between the township and the city of Bellbrook, and that was going to delay the process. And so at that point, the developer went to Centerville and to Kettering to talk about potential annexation deals. But the record reflects here that there was an effort to do this within Sugar Creek Township.
So you're telling this court that Sugar Creek Township could provide 100% of the needs of the developer?
Well, was it a perfect solution for the developer? Perhaps
it wasn't.
Was it,
in the eyes of the developer, a sufficient arrangement that would allow his development to go forward by limiting only to the participation of Sugar Creek Township?
It was not, Chief Justice O'Connor, in the sense that there was this merger study that was holding things up. But the developer did go to Sugar Creek to attempt to do this. The developer had done an economic development arrangement with Sugar Creek Township already. They had done one together.
Not
on this property, no. But there was another economic development project that the township and the developer had engaged in, and the developer went back to the township for this one. And so was it 100% of what the developer needed? Probably not, because of the merger study and the delay that it was going to occasion.
Why was that merger study going to affect this?
There was, I don't know all the ins and outs and the details of why it was, but there was something about the township being unable to move forward on all the necessary economic development incentives while the merger study was pending. I think there was some sort of statutory freeze or something that was associated with that.
Let me see if I can understand this. Centerville was going to do a TIF on this property. It was the same developer that Sugar Creek had talked to. And you were not going to lose any taxes whatsoever, but you were going to get 25% more as the property got developed, and you were going to get the benefits of all of the improvements, correct? For 10 years, then you would get the taxes.
After the TIF expired, correct.
And Sugar Creek says, whoa, you know, we don't want that because we might have too many services we have to provide. But you already had talked to that developer and apparently thought you could provide those services in the first place on your own with that developer.
Right. But that, Justice Stratton, assumes that the township would be receiving its full inside and voted
Giving the developer a TIF to do that deal?
I'm sorry?
Sugar Creek was not going to give the developer a TIF to do that deal?
Yeah, there probably would have been a TIF
so
associated with that deal.
So you would have been the same thing Centerville would have done. You would have had to give them a TIF, or you wouldn't have gotten their business.
Right.
And you thought you were going to be sufficient with services, but now if Centerville's doing it, we don't have enough services. I find an inconsistency in that position. It's like, it sounds to me like you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You want to get the development, you want to get all the benefit of the development, the increased taxes, the improvements, but you don't want to pay any of it.
The difference in that scenario, Justice Stratton, is that the township would have been in control of the TIF, and it would have been control of whatever its millage was. And it, the township, had the ability to determine whether that all of that arrangement was sufficient to provide the services and to pay for the improvements that would constitute the
TIF
plan.
So you believe the legislature intended that you could do this faster version but not be subject to any of the economic development restrictions because of the faster version? That's your belief that what that language in the statute means?
We believe that the language in the statute means that the city is not able to divert the township's imposed real property taxes.
In other words, the statutes that apply everywhere else would not apply to you if you do a fast version.
The tax exemption statutes, the TIF statute, that's correct, Your Honor, because of the language in the statute, the annexation statute, that says it remains subject to the township's real property taxes.
Counsel, I'd like to tag on to that. And there's two things in the statute that I'm uncertain about as it relates to your argument. And one is in the section itself that provides territory annexed into a municipal corporation pursuant to this section shall not at any time be excluded from the township under section 503.07 of the revised code, and thus remain subject to the township's real property taxes. That thus in there is a little unusual for legislative drafting, and it would seem that it relates back to the fact that it's subject to the taxes because the territory is not going to be removed. So whatever would happen as it's a part of the municipality would apply to the township property as well. Can you help me there with that? That seems to be like a little flag, that term thus.
Yeah, I think to interpret it that way, Justice Kupp, then ascribes no meaning to the words that follow the thus, because the words that come before the thus say exactly that already.
Well, isn't that what thus indicates, that it's cause and effect, and it's making it very clear that it remains subject to the taxes that the township has levied on the property, but doesn't necessarily affect any other general activity that would affect taxes?
Yeah, I certainly understand that argument, Justice Kupp. What I would say is that there would have been no reason to include that, because if it remained within the township's territory, of course, the township remains a taxing authority and would have the ability to tax it. I think the General Assembly put that in there for a reason, and the reason was to ensure that we don't have the situations where, you know, townships are forced to provide these additional services to a developed piece of land while not enjoying the benefit of the real property taxes from them. And as I think it was you who suggested, or maybe it was Justice O'Donnell earlier, one of the implications.
Good point. I suggested it.
One of the implications of Centerville's position here is that no matter what the township did, they could impose. You know, they could vote in additional outside millage to try to cover whatever services they're providing. But that's going to be a losing battle continually, because the TIF is going to keep diverting those monies away. And the city has the ability, with the consent of the school district, to do 100% TIF. I mean, the township would never be able to raise more money to cover
those services.
I wonder,
however, if that's not a cause for some legislative fine-tuning as opposed for an interpretation by this court. The second thing I had a little question about, I guess, is the fact that once the territory is annexed, then the township itself loses its ability to create a TIF. And so that sort of authority then moves over to the municipality to do that sort of thing. And these two little provisions together would seem to bolster the argument made by Centerville.
Well, I think the answer to that, at least our answer to that, Justice Kupp, would be that Centerville does have the ability to do a TIF. Neither the 2nd District nor we have ever contended that Centerville can't do a TIF. They just have to structure it such that the amount of revenue that they're diverting from the annexed territory is not going to, you know, reduce the amount of real property tax revenue that the township would otherwise be receiving based on its inside and voted millage.
Well, Council, the situation here was, based on my understanding, is that there was negotiations by the developer and the township. There was a rezoning done for the purposes of this development. Mm-hmm. Then that was revoked. The development rezoning was revoked while there was negotiations between, was it Bellbrook?
Bellbrook was the city with which the merger study was done.
Okay, that was the merger study. It wasn't Centerville was with Sugar Creek. It was another city.
Correct.
And so there was this merger initiative going on, and had that been successful, then would we be back in the same situation that the township would have cease to exist? Is that what we're saying?
If the merger study had reported out favorably and then the voters...
And it was on the ballot and
correct.
The voters agreed to it
correct.
And the municipality agreed to it, et cetera, they would have had one city, and that would have been Bellbrook increased by the... and Sugar Creek Township would have ceased to exist.
Yeah. That's correct, Chief Justice O'Connor.
Okay, so then the developers would have been doing business with the city of Bellbrook.
Under that scenario, if it had played out.
And Township gets only the benefit that would be divided up amongst the city itself.
That's correct, Chief Justice O'Connor. Yeah, if that scenario had played out, that's right.
But it didn't.
It didn't. Sugar Creek would have.
That's not on the books any longer or in the horizon.
As far as I know, that's correct.
Okay. Does the Sugar Creek Township want this development in their midst?
Yeah, I think as a general proposition, I think townships are in favor of development. And nobody here is trying to stymie development. What's going on here is a township is trying to protect its own fiscal coffers from, an increased burden that's not offset.
And this all took place in 2005, 2006, correct?
Correct.
And here we are 6 years later, no revenues flowing, no developments being made, no income taxes being paid, no real estate taxes increasing.
In fairness, Your Honor, I think a lot of that has to do with circumstances extraneous to this case. Initially, certainly, the litigation had something to do with that. At some point, I think larger economic factors took over, and that's part of what's going on here.
So I guess expedited type 2 isn't really all that expedited.
Well, it was not because of this statutory interpretation issue that cropped up.
Thank you.
Are you able to quantify for me the difference between the 75-25 proposed split, where the city would maintain 75% of the revenue to pay for the improvements if they were put in, township receiving the 25%, which is what I think Centerville was arguing, and your argument, which is that the revenues from the inside voted millage and the outside millage would not be denied to the township. How does that translate to a percentage?
I'm not able to quantify it for you, Justice O'Donnell. This record isn't developed enough, I don't think, to do that. I will concede that in a particular case, the percentage that it's exempted through a TIF might work out such that the township is able to provide the additional services, whatever those services may be, in a particular case. But
so is this a negotiation between the township and the city as to whether the city is going to provide all of the services or the township is going to provide all the services? Is that where the breakdown came?
Well, that's part of it, and that's what the General Assembly was trying to encourage here, Justice O'Donnell. They were trying to encourage local governments to cooperate, and that's why there are these annexation methods that say, here are the rules, but unless you strike an agreement. The Type 1 annexation method allows for cooperative agreements between local governments, and if you have those, nobody can appeal. It's automatically approved at the next meeting of the Board of Commissioners, and you're off to the races on your development. Under Type 2 and Type 3, those also allow you to do them by agreement so that every party, so it's a win-win-win situation for city, township, and developer. But Centerville's interpretation removes that win-win-win possibility and puts the townships at risk of being in a losing proposition. Maybe not in every case, but in this case and in many other cases.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cunningham, you've used your time, but you may take several minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, the developer and property owner absolutely could not get what they needed from the township in order to develop. They came to Centerville after the township revoked their zoning, imposed a merger study, which stayed annexation. It was after the merger study failed that the developer went and the property owner went shopping. It is true that the annexation statutes allow for the cooperative development, economic development of property. One of the very purposes of the annexation statutes and the tax incentive statutes is economic development in Ohio. The problem is when that can't be reached, when there is not an agreement between the local governments, the property owner has to figure out how to get the development opportunities and develop their property. They did that through the expedited
Council,
type 2
but for that merger study or, what was going on as a sideline, by the township with Bellbrook, would we be here, or would the developer just be have done the deal with Sugar Creek Township and been operational?
The developer, when they revoked their zoning, they had no interest anymore of dealing with the township. As soon as the zoning was revoked, they couldn't meet their timelines. They had to annex somewhere.
Was that a surprise to the developer, the revocation of the zoning?
It absolutely was, and it's in the record and referred to in our brief and attached in the appendix, the testimony of the developer on that happening. Absolutely. In addition to that, the reason to include the language in 709023H and thus remain subject to township taxes was to clarify that that's exactly what would happen. There have been a lot of AG's opinions and a lot of county auditors and treasurers who didn't know how to handle it when they had these dual jurisdictions. Some of them had never had dual jurisdictions before. Some of them dealt with it routinely. All of them dealt with it in an ununiform way. So that language was to clarify exactly what it was they were supposed to do when property was within a dual jurisdiction. And that was, it was to remain subject to township taxes, not to the exclusion of all of the exemptions and other tax laws, but it would remain subject to taxes, which it does in this case. It remains subject to taxes. Finally, what the township complains about in this case is the operation and effect of a TIF. The way a TIF works, whether you agree with it or not, is a tax incentive tool that was implemented by the General Assembly that essentially forces all taxing authorities, not just townships, school districts, municipalities, Adam H. boards, whoever is imposing a tax as a local taxing authority, all of them contribute a portion of their taxes by operation of law to public improvements, to facilitate economic development that theoretically would otherwise not occur. What the township wants is to enjoy the benefits of economic development that is being funded on the backs of every other taxing authority, all of whom are providing services to the annexation territory, and that not be subject to them. No, they want everybody else to pay for it and not pay for it
themselves. That's sort of interesting, though. The city was going to collect future income tax. Did Centerville pledge part of its future income tax revenue to these developments?
I am not aware that they did. The development agreement obligated a second agreement to come, and it never got that far. Whether they would or not, I don't know.
Okay. There was nothing in the original agreement.
There was nothing in the original agreement obligated a TIF and then development agreements. So whether those development agreements would have included that is not clear from the record. It never got that far, frankly.
So what the second district is saying with that phrase that it used was really, in your view, it's to protect the township's current taxes, but not to give it 100% of the benefits. Is that your reading of that language?
Certainly as it relates to TIFs, that is absolutely true. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, Council, when you say that there's a, you know, burden on the back of the other service providers, the taxing authorities, take the school, for example. This is not would not generate additional students into the system based on the property development, would it?
It could. Yes, it was a mixed-use development. It would have included a commercial, medical office, and residential as well. It could generate additional students, absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our opinions. Thank you, Council.